Bibles to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. You pray for us while we endeavor to share the Word of God with you. If you'll stand, please. Acts number 26, verse number 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." And Paul then goes on, "Keep your Bibles open, because we'll try our best to go through some of this that he answered unto King Agrippa." Let's pray right now. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for those who have been recognized as the oldest and youngest dad. I appreciate the testimony from Sister Brittany. I appreciate all that's been said and sung in song and words and, Father, in prayer. And I praise your name and thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, letting us be in the house of God. But now, Lord, we need a touch. We need your help. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, the Holy Spirit of God would work and not only help us to preach, but I pray you'd touch the hearts of those here today that are unsaved. I pray the Holy Ghost bring conviction and draw them unto yourself. And I ask you, Lord, to touch the hearts of those who have grown cold and indifferent, need to rededicate their life, and I pray for them. And I pray this day you have your way, magnify yourself, give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to call your attention, please, to verse number 2. "I think myself happy." And I'm going to preach on this subject. A happy man. A happy man. And everybody today, you know, they like to be happy. And so let's just look here in the Word of God and find out what this happy man had to say. And there's several things here, and I'm going to go back and get a little background, and I'll try not to keep you all day, but I know you want to go be with your dads and have fellowship and that kind of thing. But I tell you, I think we need to know something about what a happy dad would have to say. And knowing, was it applicable to dads, but it's applicable to moms and children and to everybody in the house about being happy. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa." And I brought out a thought one day about that. Being happy, you have to think happy. Amen. But what he was really saying here in context and direct interpretation was, he's saying, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I answer for my, because I shall answer for myself this day." And he said, I'm thankful I get to answer. I get to talk for myself about what I'm accused of. Especially, then he gives a little compliment to King Agrippa. He says, "Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech you to hear me patiently." He said, "Now, I know you're an expert in the custom of the Jews. I know you know about them." And so he recognized that might be a good thought for us to think about when we're going to talk to somebody. Find a compliment for them and compliment them in something. And he did. He said, "You're an expert. I recognize that." And then he asked him to hear me patiently. And so that's exactly what we need to do. We need to approach folk and let them know that we appreciate and happy they let us talk for ourselves. and then compliment them and then say, hear me patiently as we tell what God has done for us. And here, this is what he's saying. Now, hear me patiently and talk. Now, let me back up, get a little context of where we are in this. In chapter 24, of course, Paul's accused and then brought before Felix. And at verse 27, the verse of chapter 24 says, but after 2 years, Porcus Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. The only reason he left him in bonds was because he wanted to please the Jews. Verse 9 of chapter 25, but Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, here again, willing to please the people, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go to Jerusalem and there to be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I have be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man shall deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Now, they had taken him down to Caesarea, and they wanted to take him back to Jerusalem and stand before the Jews. He said, I've done no wrong to the Jews. I'm standing before Caesar's seat, and I appeal to Caesar. If I've done him wrong, I'll die, be gladly to die. But if not, he wanted to be set free. Then in chapter 25, verse 22, Agrippa come into the picture now, and Festus looking to him for some help. And Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow. This is Festus speaking. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. Verse number 26, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Here's Festus talking now to Felix, to Agrippa. And he said, called the Lord. Now he's talking about Caesar. And said, I have nothing to write. Whereof I have brought him before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes that is laid against him. And he said, I don't have anything to write to Caesar, because I can't find any crime he's done. And he's appealed to Caesar. Jews wanting to go back to Jerusalem, he appealed to Caesar, and as a Roman citizen, he has a right to stand before Caesar if he's done anything wrong. Said, I don't know what he's done. And that pretty well tells the story that they wrongly accused him. He hadn't done anything wrong. All he'd done was preach Jesus and preached him resurrected, died for sinners, and raised again. That's all he'd been guilty of. And the Jews were upset about it, and they wanted to kill him. And so he appealed to Caesar. Now, King Agrippa and Festus are hearing him. And I want you to get this picture. There they are. They're trying to find something that they might write to Caesar and accuse him. King Agrippa is very knowledgeable in the Jewish religion. And so Paul now stands before the king, Agrippa, and says, I think myself happy. And now he was in bonds, and Paul had been through a whole lot. He'd been shipwrecked, he'd been beaten, striped, he'd been run out of town, he'd had in great revival. He'd been through all the ups and downs, and yet he said to King Agrippa, I think myself happy. I get to stand here before thee, and he's in bonds, but he said, I'm glad I'm here. I get to tell you, now I get to witness and testify, and I'm going to tell my side of the story right now, and said I'm happy about it. I think we ought to be happy this Father's Day that we get to stand and tell our story. Amen. I count myself happy I get to stand in the pulpit and preach today. Amen. I just count myself happy I got out of bed this morning, able to come to church. I'm happy about it. Amen. And now I get to talk about Jesus, and that makes me really happy. I say praise God. And so today, let's think about this happy man. Time's getting away. took my watch off and looked at my arm, couldn't tell a thing. And we're looking now at verse number 4. Here we're going to start talking about his past. And he said, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. He said, I was a Pharisee. Now, sometimes we give the Pharisees a bad name. And there were some of them that certainly were bad. Some of them thought themselves better than other people. Some boasted in their goodness. We remember the man up at the temple. And the publican went up to pray, and the Pharisee. And the Pharisee thanked him. He wasn't talking to God because he wasn't getting anywhere. But he thanked that he was better than anybody else. But that's not how the publican prayed. He prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But all Pharisees wasn't that way. They were simply, this Pharisee was trying to live for God. He was taught the Old Testament. He knew about the Word of God. He was schooled in Jewish religion, and he lived a strict Pharisee. I believe today if we put Paul up against us before he got saved, he'd stand out as a man that lived and wanted to live for God. And when he persecuted the church, he did it in ignorance. And he wasn't aware of what he was doing. He thought he was serving God. And because he thought the Christians were bad and wrong in what they were doing. Look at verse number 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God raised the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, in my young days, I thought I'll do things wrong. He stood there while they stoned Stephen to death and kept their clothes. He later himself began to persecute and had letters to go to Damascus when he got saved. But I'm going to park here just a minute. Let me say something to you today. When you're raised in church and you're taught the Word of God, you ought to be thankful for it. That's something to be happy about. You young folks sitting here today and all through the church, these young folk, you ought to thank God you was raised in the house of God. Amen. You ought to thank God. I look around today and I see people here I knew when they were babies and they've grown up here and they're in the house of God. I thank God for that. Amen. And I thank God for the way that I was raised. I thank God for that. Even before I got saved, I'm glad God had instilled something in me from the Word of God. And my mom and dad took me to church. And I knew, amen, right from wrong. Praise God. A happy man. He said, I'm happy because of my background. He wasn't happy to persecute the church, but he was happy he knew the Word of God. And his parents had taught him the Word of God. I say, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Be thankful for that. Then I want you to know something else here he's thankful for. He's thankful for his salvation. Look in verse number 13. He's a happy man. He's happy because he taught the Word of God as a youth. But look in verse number 13. He's on his way down to Damascus now, persecuting the church. He said, at midday, O king, I saw in a way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shine round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, a few things I want to bring out here real quickly. Here at midday, there was a light brighter than the sun, struck Paul down to the earth, and he got his attention. I'll get back to that in a minute. But he said, the voice said, so called him by name, and said, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, a prick is a sharp instrument that they had hit the hooves in the bottom of the legs of the ox or the whatever they had pulling their cart or plowing with. And if the animal kicked, it went in deeper than if they just pricked them a little bit with it. And so said, what you've been doing, you've been kicking against the pricks and it's going in deeper. You're wrong, what he was saying to him. And said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Jesus was in heaven, and Paul was on earth, how was he persecuting Jesus? And this is a thought I want you to get today if you don't get anything else. The church is a part of the Lord Jesus. He said he's the head and the church is the body. He said you persecute the church, you persecute me. Amen. That'd be good in this day if everybody realized the fact. When you're talking about the church and persecuting somebody in the church and saying things about the church, you're talking about Jesus. He said, you're persecuting me. I say glory, hallelujah, amen. That's what he said. But then I want you to get this also. It was God that sought Paul out. And light came from heaven. It's like the Holy Ghost coming to us today and convicting us and showing us where we are. Paul fell to the earth. He humbled himself when God got his attention. I never did humble myself really until God got my attention. I might have went to an altar. I might have done many things, but I didn't really humble before God until God got my attention and showed me I wasn't anything and he was everything. Amen. That light shone in my life one day. And I say hallelujah. And you here today lost without God, I'll tell you, let the light shine in your life. Amen. If you're young and God, your parents brought you to church, you ought to thank God. You're here today and have an opportunity to get saved and born in the family of God. Amen. And this week, Bible school, you ought to thank God. And you ought to get saved if you're unsaved. Come to know Jesus. There's some folk here today have a burden about, and I want to see them get saved and born in the family of God. How are they going to do that, preacher? By your preaching. Well, God can use my preaching, but I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll use the testimony that's given. He'll use the singing that was done. He'll use whatever needs to be done. And he'll use that missionary standing up there holding that Bible close to him and said, I got a Bible. Hallelujah. He was up in age before he ever heard God, and he hugged it up and said, I've got a Bible. Thank God today you don't know you have a Bible. You have somebody preaching to you and in a church where you can get saved and born in the family of God. Amen. You're not saved. It'd be a good day to get saved. Hey, something down inside of you right now tugging at you and you feel uncomfortable and you like to run and you like to get out, but God's saying you ought to get in. God's saying you ought to come and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we'll see that in just a moment. But he said, I'm a happy King Agrippa. I get to stand before you and I tell you how I was when I was young. I'm telling you now, I got saved one day. I got saved on the road to Damascus and God brought me down. God showed me who I was and God called me by name. And I'm saying today you're in this house and you're unsaved, God will call your name. God's speaking to your heart. You say, how you know God's speaking to my heart? Because God said in his word, he speak to you. Amen. Through the preaching of the word of God. Faith come by hearing by the word of God. Then notice his commission. And I'll try to shorten this up as much as possible. Verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. Make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. And Paul certainly revealed a lot of things to us through the word of God that he wrote. And Paul, God used him mightily. And then in verse 19, he went on in those verses and gave him a commission. But Paul, listen to what he said in verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He said, I obeyed the call God gave me. I got saved. I called him Lord. I got saved on the road to Damascus. He gave me a commission to go. Now I've been obedient to that commission. And I've been telling everybody, y'all repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And ought to have fruit for repentance. Our repentance today is very shallow. We're given living in a generation that knows very little about real repentance. Repentance is a broken heart. are sad that you've sinned against a holy God. It's not a fact you got caught. It's not a fact that somebody's told you ought to. It's a fact that you realize you sinned against a holy God and that you deserve to go to hell. God loved you and he cared for you enough to die for you, and then he rose from the dead. He loves you, and you want to just come and love him and bow and pray and thank him for loving you and saving you. And amen. And repentance is turning from sin unto God. And I remember John the Baptist baptizing. He said, why did you come to get baptized for? Bring forth fruit and meat for repentance. He said, if God changed your life and you really got right with God, you ought to be a different person. Amen. If you got saved, hey, something different happened in your life. Amen. If you ever got God in you and got born again, you repented and got saved. Amen. You're a different creature. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't have much common salvation experiences people talk about as they live the same old life, go to the same old parties, drink the same old beer, act the same old way, get on the same old dance floor and do the same old thing. I don't have much confidence in that. I got a lot of confidence in those that come and they say, I got saved, and they show a difference in their life. They love the church. They love the songs. They love preaching, and they just love God, and they want to learn. I say, hallelujah. I like that kind. I'm a happy man. That's what Paul said. I'm happy to tell you about that. But notice the response to his preaching. Verse 24. And as he does speak for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning hath made thee mad. That word mad there means crazy. That word mad means you're out of your mind. You slipped a notch up here. You really got off. How long's it been since somebody accused you of slipping a notch? Or said your brick didn't go all the way to the top. Your brick wasn't laid straight. Or the elevator didn't go to the top. How long's it been somebody said you're crazy? Talk about somebody dying on a cross and raising from the dead. And dead death from me and I could be saved and go to heaven. You're crazy. That's what they said to Paul. We talk about somebody we've never seen, love him. Amen. A city we're going to, but no, we never seen it, but we know it's got a home over there. Well, that's another message. I can't get into all that. I preach it. We'll be here all day, sure enough. But how did Festus respond? You're crazy. He didn't get it. But I want you to see something else in verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Here he's talking to King Agrippa now. Festus, he accused him of being crazy. But King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. King Agrippa was well schooled in the Jewish way. And then Paul took advantage of that and said, I know you believe the prophets. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Did you know there's a lot of folk in hell today crying out, almost got saved. I almost, that Sunday morning, that Father's Day, the preacher preached about being saved and repenting, and almost I almost came to the altar, and I almost got saved, but I walked out unsaved, and now here I am screaming in hell. It was a Sunday school teacher told me about Jesus, or a Bible school teacher told me, and I almost got saved, but wasn't nobody else doing it, so I said no and walked out. I lost without God, and here I am in hell. I almost got saved in that revival meeting, but I almost did, but I said no to that conviction. God showed me I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. I knew Jesus was the way, but I refused it, and I almost got saved. Hey, did you know there's hell filled with people that almost got saved? But you're sitting here this morning, and if you walk out and say, I almost got saved this morning, it'll be a sad day when you wake in hell and God's today speaking to your heart, and God's convicting you, and God showed the light in on you, and God's saying to you, you ought to get saved and born in the family of God. You say, preacher, there ain't nobody. I tell you today, there are somebody here that God's speaking to that need to get saved and born in the family of God. And Paul responded to King Agrippa and said, I would not, God, not only almost, but altogether, you be persuaded as I am. And I say today, a happy man is a saved man. Happy man is happy to give his testimony. A happy man will admit where he's wrong and when he persecuted. A happy man will be one that'll take his stand in for God and tell somebody about Jesus. May call him crazy and dumb and everything else, and may say he's old-fashioned and out of date, but thank God he'll still stand and tell it. And I'm trying to tell you today, as an old preacher, I'm trying to tell you Jesus still saves every sinner that'll come. A happy man. He said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy, King Agrippa. I get to stand and talk. I'm happy today. Are you a happy dad? Are you a happy child, a happy wife? If you've never been saved, you're not happy. You may have some pleasure in sin for a season, but you're not happy. Happiness will continue when things are right and when things don't seem right. It's the joy of the Lord in your heart. Let's stand to our feet, please. I want you to bow your heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to be ready to sing in just a moment. I want everybody in the house to think what Paul said. I think myself happy. There's a lot of dads today come because of children, a lot of children because of dads. They may be grandchildren here or grandparents. There may be those here today that are saved. God's speaking to your heart about your life, about getting the joy and being a happy man, getting involved in the work of God. Then there's some here today that's just lost. You've never been saved. You need Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that light from heaven shine in and convict those that need to come. Precious children, young folk, moms and dads, I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit speak to their heart. Lord, help us today in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.